say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Good morning, everybody. A little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the Boys of the Road Crew. Get us started this morning on a little bit of a haunting, somber adventure. Probably more suited for Halloween than Christmas season. But ties in with a little bit of adventure I had yesterday. We went out and explored the old site of Franconia. If you've never heard of Franconia, you're probably not the only one. It's kind of was a, even when it was an up and going place, it was kind of a desolate, remote, empty sort of place that few people went to on purpose. The best way to put this is the pre-52 alignment of Route 66 followed what was called the Valley Cutoff on the National Old Trails Road. Went west from Kingman, Arizona, down through Yucca and to the Colorado River. But before all of that took place, we had the railroad come through Atlantic Pacific and then the Santa Fe. And just west of Yucca, down in the deep desert, it's only about a mile off what is now I-40, which replaced Route 66. Along the tracks is just an old concrete slab and piles of massive piles of trash and tin cans, and well, there's a few forlorn graves, and it's kind of an empty, haunting place, and it's eerily quiet, except for the passing of a train or a little bit of wind whistling through the salt cedars. It's got a feel to it, a touch, and this remote place was the site of not one, but two major disasters. The first one, about 2 miles west of the siding at 5:12 in the morning, November 20th, 1901, the Santa Fe Flyer No. 1, traveling westbound, collided head-on with Flyer No. 4. And because both trains were moving at high speed, the collision was horrendous. The photos from that are just beyond belief. Just two locomotives, and it's you cannot tell one from the other. You can't even tell they're locomotives. The fireman and engineer on both trains died instantly, and one locomotive was engulfed in flames, and the other exploded on impact. The dining cars on both trains, two freight cars and a Pullman car, were thrown from the tracks and destroyed. Full details about the accident were revealed in a 1906 lawsuit. Santa Fe Pacific Railroad Company versus Holmes. It was argued before the U.S. Supreme Court in April. And there was articles published in the Mojave County Miner out of Kingman, Arizona. It says, quote, J.B. Williams, engineer of the westbound train, jumped, was severely injured, and died as a result. Holmes, who later won the lawsuit, jumped and was bound and buried in the oil from the overturned tank. Was so weak, it was only by the greatest effort of will that he managed to keep his head above the oil. W.I. Case could not initially be found. Later, his charred remains were identified by the outline of the features. W.H. Armitage, the fireman, was identified by scraps of clothing, in which his watch and keys. His body was found hanging in the firebox of his engine, completely incinerated. Walter Doveridge, a colored waiter, was so badly burned that he died while being taken aboard the relief train, and the charred bodies of several tramps were found later in the wreckage. Two were reported to have boarded the train before the wreck, and three others at Needles. Information's rather sketchy about the cemeteries there at Franconia and conflicting, but one of the things that I found interesting is the primary cemetery is north of the tracks, and there's at least four or five, maybe six, eight graves there. But there's another grave site to the south of the tracks. Not much left. They've had extensive flooding and washing there in the sand, and it was listed as a hobo graveyard, which I found kind of intriguing. Now, by the way, you can read more about these accidents in the book Murder and Mayhem on the Main Street of America, Tales from Bloody 66, one of the last books I had published. Most news articles about the disaster concluded with a statement from the railroad, quote, "In the history of the Santa Fe Railroad, no worse wreck than this has ever been occurred, and we hope it will be long before we have another to report." But here's what's really odd about Franconia, this remote desert siding. And there was a section house and some other services there. And prospectors would set up tent camps there, collect supplies, and wander into the Warm Springs area and the Black Mountains. A little bit of mining in the nearby mountains, but it was always a remote, just basically railroad siding. And incredibly, we had another major disaster. August 22nd, 1945. It says, quote, "A signal error at Franconia led to a Santa Fe passenger train crashing into the side of another. A westbound passenger train had pulled into the siding at Franconia 2 hours behind schedule. And according to records, 3 minutes later, an express train passed. There was another 10-minute delay as crews were performing track work. Then, as the train proceeded to pull onto the main line, a westbound train traveling more than 65 miles an hour hit at a point several cars behind the locomotive. The engine and third car of this passenger train were derailed, as there were two more cars. Miraculously, there were no deaths. This was largely attributed to the fact that the first train was carrying a contingent of military medical people, including doctors and nurses. Still, 49 passengers, 5 Pullman employees, and 3 train service employees were injured. A passenger suffered from a broken neck, another from a crushed chest, and one from a severely crushed leg, and a sailor with the U.S. Navy lost a hand." That article was published in the Kingman Daily Miner. It's really an interesting place. I had been to Franconia before, kind of just passed through. This was the first time that I got out and did any kind of exploration. And the most interesting site, there's nothing, it's hard to imagine what was there. There's several concrete slabs. The old water tanks that had serviced the steam locomotives that had Franconia on the side, they've gone now. And you just have a few forlorn graves, some marked with crosses, some with just carrions of rocks. One of the things that I found intriguing is it's not very far off the main highway. Like, say, it's the railroad is about 3/4 mile off I-40, and then Franconia is probably a mile and a half west. But extreme sand. This is not an easy place to get to. And the months of winter are the best time to explore this country because it was moderately yesterday, temperature-wise. Summers are brutal. But several somebodies, have been taking artificial flowers out on apparently a fairly regular basis and decorating the graves. And that just opens all kinds of questions. Who? Why? A lot of great mysteries in the desert. I had discovered the story of Franconia many years ago while writing a book about ghost towns of the Southwest. But it was only recently that I learned of its tragic history. And I have to say that tainted my perception. It's kind of a haunting place once you know the story behind the disasters. Of course, that happens a lot with these old places. If you'll watch Jim Hinckley's America Facebook page, you'll find sometime this next week I will do a blog post on the Jim Hinckley's America website and share it to the Facebook page with historic photos as well as photos I took yesterday about Franconia, and I'll share a bit of the story. Another thing real quick that I found interesting about Franconia is the population was always railroad employees, but it was never more than a dozen. And sometimes the population there would jump up to around 50 because of hobos or miners, prospectors camping, waiting for supplies. But I found it interesting that some of the early records from 04, 05, 06, that most of the people assigned there were foreign. Japanese track workers, a fellow from England that had immigrated to the United States. So for such a remote place, it has a most interesting history. Well, I'd like to thank you for joining us this morning. I hope you found this program somewhat informative. And I'll also be posting directions how you can find Franconia. That's what we do here. We tell people to go, where to go. Kind of like our friends down at Route Trip USA. They're specialists in U.S. and Route 66 and Canadian road trip holidays. Telling people where to go is their business. And likewise, that's what I do, telling people where to go. Got a few things coming up that I think everybody's going to be excited about. We have located and acquired a vehicle that we're going to be putting together as a rolling Route 66 information center. And we'll have more details on that too soon. I hope you can join us tomorrow morning. We're out beating the bushes. We're going to always have some great stories to share, but we're looking for some interesting guests and we hope to have them on soon. And this is an embryonic effort, but I think you're going to find it interesting. So those who tuned in this morning, I'd sure like to hear your input. Feel free to drop me a note and let me know what you think. Until we meet again, my friends, vaya con Dios, mi amigos.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.